In the meeting, Biden didn't remember when his son Beau died, couldn't remember the years he was vice president of the United States, and the lights were on, but maybe only like a 5-watt bulb, and definitely nobody was home anyway.
It is not often that you get bombshell damning reports politically in a week. It is very rare to have two of them, and it just happened. We had a big time interview with Tucker Carlson interviewing Vladimir Putin. Bombshells coming out of it. Right in the same time, we had a special counsel report about President Biden essentially questioning his mental capacity. These are gigantic happenings. They're going to play out and have major implications in the 2024 election. That's why we've got Sean Ring on the call today. Sean is going to break down some of the things that he saw in the Putin interview that he likes and some of the ways that we can think about it. And also, we want to dive deep into the Biden special counsel report. Sean, thanks for joining us. Give us your take. Let's start with Putin. What do we need to know?
Good morning. How are you, Matt?
Good afternoon to you. You're over in Italy, so good afternoon. But Sean did say something in the green room as we wait a few minutes here to get everybody on the call. Sean said something in the green room. He's like, well, everything that was said in the Putin interview and kind of in the Biden story, everyone at Paradigm or in the Rickards camp should already know because a lot of these topics, we're talking about them openly. It's just now that these bombshells are starting to come out and it's there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So.
It was interesting because I didn't watch it live. I was like midnight, no way, I can't do this anymore. So I got up early this morning and watched it on TuckerCarlson.com. There's nothing about it that surprised me other than I thought Vladimir Putin pulled his punches a bit. I thought that he could have gone in a lot harder on especially the 90s betrayal of Russia when America was trying to stamp Russia into the ground and break it up and get all its resources. He didn't get too hard today. He's like, hey, that happened. Everyone thinks Yeltsin was a drunk and didn't know what was going on, but he did. And when I became president in 2000, I set about fixing it. It's kind of like we let those bygones be bygones. What he was, we emphasized a couple of things. One was that, listen, if NATO just stayed where it was, none of this would have happened. He's basically like, there were five waves of NATO enlargement and five provocations that we just let pass. Russia just said, okay, you want the Baltics? Okay, you want a lot of Eastern Europe? Okay, fine. We'll take it. We'll take it on the chin because we don't feel that threatened. But Ukraine, and again, I've written about this many times in The Root, and many, many newsletter writers have covered this. You could walk from Lisbon. Actually, not Lisbon. You got to go over to Pyrenees, but you basically walk from Paris to Moscow, and it's flat as a pancake. There are no mountains between, here and there. And one of the ways to do that is through the flat underbelly of Russia, which runs directly from Ukraine. That's why Russia has always been, so dependent on that one, not one inch to the east promise that America basically broke. Putin actually also touched on when he asked Bill Clinton, if Russia could join NATO, which I had forgotten about. That was probably the one thing I went, oh yeah, I remember that. God, that was ages ago. What if Russia joined NATO? And Clinton said, wow, that's an interesting idea. Let me go talk to my team. And the team came back and said, no. And he said, ah, that's all right, fine, But that all these clues were just, laid before Russia that they just weren't welcome in the nations of the West. The West didn't want them. I think, and this is again just personal, this has nothing to do with the interview. I think it's because, if you don't have Russia as an enemy anymore, who are you building all those weapons to fight? Because China at the time, remember, wasn't nearly considered as much of an enemy. It only had probably about 10 years of super growth by then, still not, anywhere near a threat to the United States. So, hey, we got to keep someone around to be the boogeyman. And that happened to be Russia. The Nord Stream thing was really interesting, not because of what Putin did. If you read The Root this morning, go back. Tucker Carlson actually said, it's amazing to me that Germany knows one of its NATO partners blew up Nord Stream and did nothing about it. And what was hilarious about it was Putin picked it up for right there, just said, yeah. I mean, he goes, listen, it was funny. Tucker goes, who blew up Nord Stream? He goes, you did. And Tucker goes, oh, it wasn't me. I was busy that day. It was kind of a funny exchange between them. He goes, no. He goes, you have an alibi. The CIA doesn't. He said, basically, who has the motive and who has the capability to blow up Nord Stream? And basically, there's, really one or maybe two countries, if you consider the UK, that could actually have pulled that off, of course, with Polish help, since it was basically Polish waters. But Tucker Carlson was the one who said, listen, it was clearly one of Germany's NATO partners, and Putin just kind of rode along with it, which I thought was funny. But he just kind of bashed the European elites. He goes, these people are incompetent. He's like, the problem with Europe is that it doesn't take into account its national interests anymore. So Germany is sitting there trying to fight for all the West, Europe, whatever that means, an Atlanticist point of view, and doesn't care about itself. And that's why it's deindustrializing. So to the Russian mind, they just don't get this. They're just like, you are behaving irrationally. We're just going to back off. He goes, basically, there are two pipelines. One of the Nord Stream pipelines is unharmed or slightly harmed. We could fix it really quickly. And then there's the Yamal Europe pipeline that runs through Poland, that could easily feed Germany, the Russian gas. And we're happy for them to turn it back on. They don't want to turn it back on. So he's presenting himself as magnanimous in all this. Again, nothing shocking to me about anything that Putin said. It was all stuff that quite frankly, I'd written about years ago. But the thing that kind of, I think, makes people feel really badly is when you juxtapose a president who could recite 800 years of Russian history over the first half hour of the interview, which I found fascinating to the point, get to the point, should have been interrupted. I heard that. It's like, dude, I could listen to that all day. With a president who thinks he just had a conversation with Francois Mitterrand, and can't figure out who he gets Ergenin and Orban confused. It's just a dearth of leadership in the West right now. And you got to feel kind of poor leadership wise after watching that with
Yeah.
Putin, because
And
like,
I was going to say before we get into that, because that's a great segue, I wanted to make sure that we cover some of the big picture stuff. Because some people, if you're watching this or you see this on YouTube or whatever it may be, you might think, me, I'm here at Paradigm, I'm the publisher, and Sean Ring writes The Rood. He's one of our best big thinkers here. You might think like, oh, these are Russian. They're sympathists. They like Russia and all this stuff. And I want to make sure we
sympathizers.
keep that in context, right? We love America. We also love the truth. And this is just one of those times where ever since Nord Stream and a lot of the stuff that's going on in the Ukraine, that's the great part of us working and we publish and work beside Jim Rickards. Jim's been on top of a lot of these topics and the truth of what's happening. And it just so happens that I'll say it this way. We said this in the green room, Sean. Putin has this interview and he seems kind of like, he's laughing and doing all these things. We also remember, like, he's got his foot on the throat of Ukraine. So, like, this isn't like he's like, oh, I'm just let's ha ha hang out. He's like, he's basically killing a country and having this interview at the same time. So, it's not like he's a good guy. But as you see it, Sean, right? A lot of the stuff he's saying is probably fairly true.
No, he's a nationalist. Like, again, to an American who has not been, who's been watching the mainstream media, he still sounds like a criminal. They probably watched it in horror. But being over here, a little bit closer, not nowhere near the battlefield, thank heavens. Germany is in an inordinate amount of trouble right now as a country. I mean, I and again, this is something Martin Armstrong's talked about this. I've talked about this. Other people in my circle think the same thing. Like, Germany's probably not going to be a country in 10 years. It's going to have to break up. It's deindustrializing at such a pace right now. And you're wasting all this genius, because what genius needs is cheap energy. Okay, it's kind of like, you think about these smart kids at MIT. Pizza, beer, go. Germany, cheap natural gas. American pipeline gas is up to four times as expensive as Russian pipeline gas. So I'm sorry, American LNG, sorry, not pipeline. American LNG is four times as expensive as a Russian pipeline gas. So, from a German perspective, it makes no sense to ignore Russian supplies. Now, of course, it is very inconvenient that Russia invaded Ukraine, and Europe is so into this, hey, we haven't had any problems since 1945, which is not true, obviously. I mean, we remember what happened to Yugoslavia, but that was supposed to be the last time we had any trouble in Europe. Anybody who kind of breaks that rhythm is a pariah, and they allowed the United States to, and I'm going to call it straight out, use this infantile form of test of relations where you don't talk to your enemies anymore. Okay, it's diplomatic kindergarten in the United States. I think the State Department's utterly embarrassed itself. You need to keep channels open with your enemies. It's actually more important to do that with your enemies than your friends. Your friends are predictable. They're not going to do anything to hurt you usually. But with Russia, you need to keep the lines open, and they have not kept the lines open at all. And Putin keeps saying, hey, listen, come on, we're ready to talk. We're ready to come to the table. Come to the table. And quite frankly, we should have been at the table. So I'd like to see the US kind of grow up a little bit on that score.
And the other thing, like now we'll segue over, because I think he also said, Tucker asked him, he's like, when's the last time you talked to Biden? He's like, I don't remember. Like, it's a while. It's been a while. So let's
If he
get into
doesn't
that.
remember, Biden surely doesn't remember.
At the same time, we get this 2-hour interview, which some of our readership and viewership, like, hopefully you guys got through it. I mean, it was a long interview, the Tucker and Putin interview. And Sean, I appreciate your take on what you saw there. But at the same time, we get another bombshell. Just timing wise, it's weird, and it's the things that they're saying are scathing. And you go on to my favorite news source, CNN. Just kidding. But you go into CNN, even CNN is saying things about Biden. Like, this special counsel report that came out basically makes it seem like everything Jim Rickards and we've been saying here at Paradigm is correct. Like, this dude, the lights are on, but no one's home. Like, he does not have any memory. He can't talk appropriately. So give us a rundown of what you're seeing and what you've seen, at least, because this is just kind of breaking now, what you've seen from this report and where things go, because there's an election. Biden is still in all the primary ballots. He's supposed to be on the main ballot. What's going to happen?
It's a pretty shocking thing. Our colleague Dave Gonigam, on in the if you don't read the five, read the five. Dave puts a great digest out every day about what's going on in the markets. But this morning, when he got on, he got in the chat room and mentioned that the special counsel, that Merrick Garland, who's the worst attorney general in the history of the United States, got to investigate Biden was a Republican named Robert Hur, who's a Korean American. And the report is staggering. Okay, so they basically said in this report, he said that in the report, there is absolutely no doubt that Joe Biden had documents he shouldn't have had on him at his private residence. But because he is so fried mentally, and that's not the exact words he used, we should get up the report sooner or later. But basically said he's so fried that we'd never get a conviction out of this. There's no way that we could try him and that he would look like anything other than a sympathetic elderly man. It's absolutely unbelievable. Apparently, in the meeting, Biden didn't remember when his son Beau died, couldn't remember the years he was vice president of the United States, was just, I mean, Matt said the lights were on, but maybe only like a 5-watt bulb, and definitely nobody was home anyway. And the left-wing press has been absolutely infuriated. They're like, this is the biggest hatchet job since James Comey, got Hillary. It's undoubtedly true, and it's now daily that Joe Biden is making these gaffes. I'm sure you saw he thought he talked to Mitterrand instead of Macron. He was talking to Helmut Kohl instead of Olaf Scholz, who's the current German chancellor. I think another one was he got the border of Mexico and Egypt mixed up. Like, he was talking about Gaza and, oh, thank God the Mexicans are going to open up the border. It's now the Egyptians are going to open up the border. He already left the border open in the United States. All these issues are creeping up on him. I think that it would have been smarter to wait until later to release this report. One of two things. Either the Democrats released it because they thought, well, hey, let's get it out here early, so when we pull them off the ballot, no one's shocked. Or, let's get this out while Tucker's doing this interview because then we can make the Republicans look like they're trying to, kill the Biden presidency. Either way, it's gotten out quite early. And it just gives more credence to what Jim Rickards has said on this very channel, and also on our Paradigm Press YouTube channel, that it's probably going to be someone like a Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama that is going to be on the Democratic ticket. Is day by day, it is looking highly now probable, not possible, that Joe Biden will not be the Democratic front runner for the presidency in 2024. What does Donald Trump look like against Gavin Newsom? I imagine he wipes the floor with him. All he has to say is, if you elect Gavin Newsom, the rest of the United States is going to look like California. And if Michelle Obama comes in, I imagine that would be a really nasty debate, couple debate sessions between the two of them. and it'd be really interesting to see how they run against each other. I imagine the metropolitan elites would all vote for Michelle Obama, and literally everybody else in the country would vote for Donald Trump.
Dude, I just had a crazy thought. Like, could you imagine they're debating, like Trump and Michelle Obama are debating, and Trump starts saying something nasty, like then Barack Obama just gets up on the stage and like smacks him? Like, this could
Dude,
be, God knows
Will
what's gonna
Smith
happen
all of
here.
them.
Yeah,
I
it's
don't
like
know. I
Will
think
Smith part two.
Michelle's got a bigger. Well,
Oh,
Michelle's
God.
shaped like a linebacker. I'm not
All right.
sure she needs fabric.
One thing I will share, this is again. This is as it's all coming out. This is kind of what I was hinting at. And again, I don't check CNN for my news, but I check it every now and then just to see what they're saying. It's one of those like keep an eye on stuff. Here, let me share my screen. This is just live, right? But like, this is trashing Biden here in the main headline. It's like, yeah, it spins kind of out of control. And in this headline down here, this was actually one of the main headlines earlier today. Trump was just given a political gift to exploit. So it's like, this almost seems like you're on Fox News. It's like Biden's an idiot, Trump's doing great. Like that's the I can't tell if there's two different things that happened. This was orchestrated by the Democrats as a piece of information so that it's like, all right, we're going to usher him out at some point, like Jim Rickards has predicted. Or is this something that came out and they didn't know it and they are just dealing with it? They're like, "Uh-oh, we got to just start throwing this stuff out," and they're scurrying and trying to figure out what to do next. Either way, like you said, I do believe the cadences, the drumbeat's getting louder that like it would be shocking if Biden was actually on the 2024 election, main election ballot. It's just inconceivable. And I think Jim says it best. Jim has tons of times I've interviewed Jim Rickards. He calls him a husk. It's like a shell of a person. He's just like, oh, he just shuffled around places. He can't think of anything, and he just says things that make no sense. It would be a sad day in America if he's on the presidential ballot for either party or whatever. But the Democrats, that would be a sad day. Anything else there to wrap up the conversation on what you're seeing from there?
No, the only thing, and I think we're going to segue into this, is that despite all this ridiculousness politically, we just hit 5,000 the S&P. Woohoo!
Yeah.
So,
All right.
it's not
Well,
looking
I mean,
bad.
that's the other thing. So we'll wrap it up there. I mean, I appreciate all the conversation and the updates on Putin interview and then what we're seeing here out of Biden, because it's a it's interesting. Do you have any other are there any other not with Putin, but I guess like anything else you're seeing for like Trump VP or any other pieces of the 2024 election?
Now, I'd love to see Vivek, not as vice president. I think that's everyone's like Vivek should be the VP. And interestingly, that funny that you bring that up. Vivek demonstrates that Putin-like memory. Like he just could just recite stuff straight off the top of his head. When they tried to get him on the slavery question with the Civil War, he was just incredibly articulate, incredibly cogent, just straight out there, boom, confident. Thank you very much. Well prepped. But I think he'd be wasted as a VP. I mean, to me, get him as Secretary of Commerce, get him Secretary of Interior, someplace where he can do real damage. In fact, he'd probably be the person I'd want in every ministry or department that I want to eliminate. Just cut half the staff here, get rid of them, go ahead. And Nikki Haley losing to none of the above, which is just another thing. She is to me the person who does not know how to leave the party, a party or the party, capital T, capital P. She's got to go. It's over
Yeah.
for her. She just doesn't know it yet.
All right, everyone, there you have it. That's right from Sean. Sean, we appreciate your take. I know you're over in Italy. You give us a nice outsider's perspective on what's happening. But the Putin interview, Tucker Carlson, and then the special counsel report, big, big happenings. For everyone at home, I want to make sure you know I don't say it too much, but Sean writes The Rood Awakening. If you're not a reader of the daily e-letter called The Rood Awakening, you got to find it and get on it. I'll see if I can do something, put something in the comments below where you can, or maybe in the description below where you can. Again, if this is free content, you can be one of Sean's readers and hear what he has to say on the political front, the geopolitical front, and with markets because he's very tuned in and we appreciate it. Otherwise, thanks so much for tuning in. Please, as always, we need some likes. We need you to subscribe. We got tons of content here at Paradigm Press. We're putting it out on our YouTube channel, and the only way that you can be first to watch it is if you're on our subscriber list. And if you have anything to say about what Sean said about the Putin interview or about Biden, go ahead, throw it in the comments. I like to read them all. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks,
See you,
everybody. Thanks,
Sean.
Matt.
Thanks.